Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Here is a special announcement. Today is Tuesday, and not, as is announced in today's Sunday Telegraph, Friday. And now, a repeat of last Thursday's performance of Monday Night is Music Night.
Listening, as the man told you, to Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio. I'm Robert Louis Abrahamson, and I'll be presenting the offering for you for the next, well, little under an hour. Instead of following some story or theme this time, I thought we could just move along through a series of songs. Almost random songs, certainly with no unifying theme, except that they are all worth attending to, and you are invited to attend. Yes, for this evening's Evening Under Lamplight, I've decided to go back through some of the songs that I had intended to include in previous shows, but had no time for, or that I had included, but just thought we'd enjoy attending to again. I might work up some links from one song to another, but they're just tenuous links, not an attempt to build up any overall theme, and if you're patient, we'll have a lovely little fable towards the end. By the way, you can listen to any or all of the archived shows going back to 2009 at our website, momentsunderlamplight.co.uk, clicking on the link to Evening Under Lamplight. And now, to begin, well, let's just have a pair of very upbeat songs to get us out of any lingering lethargy. First, What Else? But my very favourite theme music from my favourite television show, The Soupy Sales Show. I don't think the few clips from The Soupy Sales Show on YouTube will give anyone unfamiliar with the show a sense of what was so immensely attractive about Soupy Sales, and I'm not talking about the stupid pie-throwing shtick. And how witty were his live shows 5 days a week, sloppily produced, filled with empty space, drawing on old vaudeville jokes, but full of intelligent nonsense, as you get a taste of in the theme tune, Flying Fingers. Flying Fingers, the theme tune from The Soupy Sales Show, going out to Robert Krasnoff, a more devoted viewer than any of the others of us, but who left us far too soon. And another of our little gang of Soupy Sales fans was Peter, now of Boulder, Colorado, who introduced me to so much music back at an age when it really mattered. And one of the best, surely, was this lively song by the Young Bloods, Grizzly Bear, a raucous song about his woman leaving him to run off to San Francisco to do the grizzly bear there, since apparently there was a bar in San Francisco where they created the dance called Grizzly Bear, which consisted of grabbing your partner in a tight frontal squeeze, a grizzly bear hug, And then I think just jumping around the dance floor together. A bonding experience, I can imagine. And here's the kind of music they might be jumping to. Jump along if you're so inclined. Youngblood's Grizzly Bear. We all should have a copy of that song in our collection, just for those moments when we need a song like that. Or maybe we want to do a different dance with a real bear, an amazing dancing bear. You know what I mean. Simon Smith and his amazing dancing bear is a relatively early Randy Newman song, but it contains all the complexity of any of his best songs. The music is upbeat, though not quite as wild as Grizzly Bear, and it's tempered by Randy's deadpan voice, which at times begins to crack and reveal the desperation behind the facade. When I played the song on that classic Christmas special Evening Under Lamplight with Neil Henry and Andrew Abey, Neil very frankly admitted that although this was a song we danced to all the time when he was young, he never realized what the words were saying. The song is sung by a boy, Simon Smith, who's desperately poor. "I might go out tomorrow," he says, "if I can borrow a coat to wear." And what does he do when he goes out? He takes his dancing bear, whatever that is, whoever that is, he takes his dancing bear and performs a little act, either outside or showing up inside, the nicest places where well-fed faces all stop and stare. He hopes to get a little money from this, or at least some food. "They'll love us, won't they? They feed us, don't they? Oh, who would think a boy and bear could be well accepted everywhere? It's just amazing how fair people can be." Though if they really were fair, they wouldn't allow the conditions that leave little Simon Smith destitute, without a coat of his own and no money. But then, who needs money when you're funny? Or we can extend this song to be about all creative work, where the artists produce their work and then, in a way, have to perform it, have it published, hung in an art gallery, sung on stage or in studio, which comes to the same thing as appearing before the well-fed faces, hoping they'll love us and they'll feed us. There's no self-pity here, just a kind of cheerful pathos. The Alan Price version first brought the song to our attention, but Randy Newman's less pizzazzy performance of the song brings out this darkness and the feeling behind the cheerfulness.
Step out in style with my sincere smile and my dancing bear outrageous, alarming, courageous, charming. Oh, who would think a boy in bear could be well except everywhere? It's just amazing how fair people can be. Nicest places where well-fed faces all stop to stare, making the grandest entrance of Simon Smith in his dancing bear. They'll love us, won't they? They feed us, don't they? Oh, who would think a boy in bear could be well except everywhere? It's just amazing how fair people can be. Simon Smith and his dancing bear is Simon Smith and the amazing dancing bear.
But sometimes, in order to get them to like your song, you have to compromise with the way you'd intended the song to sound, or someone else tampers with it without your consent. Look what they've done to my song, you lament. And who better to lead this lament than Melanie, who doesn't really have much to say except to cry out in the pain of seeing her creation torn apart somehow. It's the only thing I could do half right, and it's turning out all wrong. But then the Simon Smith consolation. Maybe it'll all be okay. If the people are buying tears, I'll be rich someday. More self-pity here than in the Randy Newman song, but Melanie's voice is so welcome, compelling that I don't think we can resist it. I can't anyway. And I bought her album, Lang Syne, so maybe she had a meal for me.
Look what they done to my song, Ma. Look what they done to my song. Well, it's the only thing that I could do half right, and it's turning out all wrong, Ma. Look what they done to my song. Look what they done to my brain, Ma. Look what they done to my brain. Well, they picked it like a chicken bone, and I think I'm half insane, Ma. Look what they done to my soul. I wish I could find a good book to live in. Wish I could find a good book. Well, if I could find a real good book, I'd never have to come out and look at what they've done to my soul. La, soon. But maybe it'll all be all right, Mom. Maybe it'll all be okay. Well, if the people are buying tears, I'll be rich someday, Mom. Look what they've done to my son. Ils ont changé ma chanson, ma. Ils ont changé ma chanson. C'est la seule chose que je peux faire et ce n'est pas bon, ma. Ils ont changé ma chanson. Look what they've done to my son, ma. What they done to my song, Ma. Well, they tied it up in a plastic bag, turned it upside down, Ma. Look what they done to my song. Ils ont changé ma chanson, Ma. Look what they've done to my song, Mama. Look what they've done to my song. It's the only thing I can do all right, and they turn it upside down. Over. Look what they've done to my song.
You see, just in case they didn't like the English version, the New York version, rather, she offers it to us in French as well. Those well-fed faces would appreciate this, won't they? Melanie's voice is, as I said, compelling. So compelling that I have to have another song. I'm Back in Town. Another witty, self-pitying song, what we call a dramatic monologue, in which one person speaks and, in speaking, paints for us a whole dramatic scene. Unlike Fats Waller's Lulu, who's back in town and everyone's all excited, here's this woman not just back in town, but back in her boyfriend's place, only to find that she's out of place. It's a painfully humiliating situation, and I don't know how else you could respond except in this way.
I'm back in town. You don't look so happy, 'cause I'm back in town. You don't look like smiling. Don't jump up and down on my toes. I guess I better go. Oh, I'm very sure I should have knocked when I opened the door. Pardon me, miss, but he's just a friend from before who never locked his door. I opened without knocking like before. You wrote me that all was the same, so I came, but I can't find the love in your eyes. I guess that you're surprised, just like me. I never thought you'd find another she. You liked as well as me, but I guess I was wrong. So I'll be going home. Oh, I'm back in town. Didn't they tell you that I'm back in town? You don't look so happy. Don't jump up and down on my toes. You loved me once, you know.
guess that you don't love me anymore. I'm back in town. Didn't they tell you that I'm back in town? You don't look so happy. Don't jump up and down on my toes. You loved me once.
You see, a whole dramatic scenario set out in a simple song. You loved me once, you know. I guess you don't love me anymore. Huh. That little, huh. Well, there was Melanie with her New York plaintiveness. You don't look so happy, 'cause I'm back in town. And while we're on to New York voices, here's the archetype New York song from Guys and Dolls. It's Adelaide's lament. Back in the days when you had to be married to be respectable, a doll could carry on an affair with her guy only so long. This doll, single only in the legal sense, was always waiting for the proposal, which would lead to, well, if not to bliss, at least to some sort of respectability. Poor Adelaide, she's not only left without a proposal, but she has a bad cough and a cold as well. She may appear just a blousy doll, just good for her looks, but we see here that she's not so dumb and is teaching herself about psychosomatic symptoms. And not many songs start off with a sneeze.
Achoo! It says here in this book, the average unmarried female, basically insecure, due to some long frustration, may react with psychosomatic symptoms. Difficult to endure, affecting the upper respiratory tract. In other words, just from waiting around for that plain little band of gold, a patient can develop a cold. You could spray her wherever you figure the streptococci like. You can give her a shot for whatever she's got, but it just won't work. If she's tired of getting that fish eye from the hotel clique, a person can develop a cold. It says here, the female remaining single, just in the legal sense, shows a neurotic tendency. See note, see note, note. Chronic organic syndromes, toxic or hypertense, involving the eye, the ear, the nose, and throat. In other words, just from wondering whether the wedding is on a roof, a person can develop a cough. You can feed her all day with the vitamin A and the bromo. Trouble is, if she's getting a kind of a name for herself and the name ain't his, a person can develop a cough. And furthermore, just from stalling and stalling and stalling the wedding trip, a person can develop la grippe. When they get on the train for Niagara and she can hear church bells chime, compartment is air conditioned and the mood sublime. Then they get off at Saratoga for the 14th time. A person can develop la grippe, la grippe, la post nasal drip. When the wheezes and the sneezes and a sinus that's really a pimp. From a lack of community property and a feeling she's getting too old, a person can develop a bad, bad cold.
That was the wonderful Vivian Blaine with Adelaide's Lament from the musical Guys and Dolls. As I understand it, they wanted Vivian Blaine in the show, but she wasn't quite right to play the leading lady, so they created the role of Adelaide for Vivian, and she made it one of the most exciting parts on Broadway, especially with this song. But while we're on New York voices, here's one more I mustn't neglect. You may have heard of Danny Kaye, but you probably don't know his album, Mommy, Give Me a Drink of Water, a record my Aunt Ruth gave to my sister when she was very young, but I played it more than she did, and I think I took it away with me when I left home. Most of the songs are charming, but none more so than this little one-minute piece called The Puddle, about a... well, you'll see.
As I was coming home from school today and I started across the street, a big truck was going very fast and there was a puddle of water there and I was holding Alvin's hand, but Alvin ran away, so the man splashed it all over me. And now I got stains. It wasn't my fault, Mommy. It was Alvin's fault. You're gonna buy me a new suit, Mommy, or you're gonna hit me.
Are you gonna buy me a new suit, Mommy, or you're gonna hit me? Poor kid. He's caught in the fallacy of the excluded middle. Thinking there are only two extreme options, buying a whole new suit or getting spanked for being naughty, even when it wasn't his fault, or so he claims, passing the blame on to Alvin, his little brother perhaps. But you know, kid, there's such a thing as a dry cleaner. And now it's time to remind you that you're listening to Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio with me, Robert Louis Abrahamson, or as Neil Henry is trying to say...
When the day comes to an end, he invites you to attend Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio. When the day comes to an end, he invites you... No. When the day comes to an end, he invites you to attend... It's Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio. It's Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Thank you, Neil Henry. But we were talking way back there a few minutes ago about Danny Kaye's The Puddle and the kid who thinks his mother is either going to buy him a new suit or else hit him. The joke is that the kid has only these two extreme options, when we know he should understand that there's a whole world of alternative options in between the two extremes. I was thinking that this childhood vision of only extreme options could lead to certain emotional, not to say psychological, problems later in life, perhaps to some sort of fundamentalism which sees only black and white options, no complexities in life. And thinking about that led me to this song, which we played on the show some time ago, I can't remember exactly when. It's Robin Hitchcock, a Cambridge guy, so Unser, one of us, with Uncorrected Personality Traits. It's pretty straightforward in what it's saying, though probably unresolvably complex in its entanglement of seriousness and playfulness. Uncorrected personality traits that seem whimsical in a child, like limited options when you come home with mud on your new clothes. Uncorrected personality traits that seem whimsical in a child may prove to be ugly in a fully grown adult.
Uncorrected personality traits that seem whimsical in a child may prove to be ugly in a fully grown adult. Lack of involvement with the father or over-involvement with the mother can result in lack of ability to relate to sexual peace. And in homosexual leanings, narcissism, transsexuality, girls from the waist up, men from the waist down, attempts to be your own love object. Reconcile your parents to you by becoming both at once. Even Marilyn Monroe was a man, but this tends to get overlooked by our mother-fixated, overweight, sexist media. So, uncorrected personality traits that seem whimsical in a child may prove to be ugly in a fully grown adult. If you give in to them every time they cry, they will become little tyrants, but they won't remember why. Then when they are thwarted by people in later life, they will become psychotic and they won't make an ideal husband or wife. The spoiled baby grows into the escapist teenager who's the adult alcoholic who's the middle-aged suicide. Oi, so uncorrected personality traits that seem whimsical in a child may prove to be ugly in a fully grown adult.
Well, that was suitably pessimistic, or, of course, optimistic, if we take the song as a reminder to correct the personality traits of our children, as if we could. Any parent will tell you that attempts to shape the child's personality traits always go amiss. And just to prove the point, I want to read to you a wonderful little fable written by George Ade, known in American crossword clues as Indiana Humorist, three letters, A-D-E, you see. George Ade. His Fables and Slang appeared in 1899, and he wrote a few more small volumes of fables, all in a very odd kind of slang, which either was popular 120 years ago or was entirely created by George Ade. Some of the expressions you'll find baffling, but not too baffling, and you'll get the sense of this, I'm sure. And the humorous satire on Midwest life at the turn of the century is still relevant today. So, join me now for The Fable of the Parents Who Tinkered with the Offspring by George Ade. A married couple possessed two boys named Joseph and Clarence. Joseph was much the older. His parents brought him up on a plan of their own. They would not permit him to play with other boys for fear that he would soil himself and learn to be rude and boisterous. So they kept him in the house, and his mother read to him about little Rollo, who never lied or cheated, and who grew up to be a bank president. She seemed to think that a bank president was above reproach. Little Joseph was kept away from the public schools and had to play games in the garret with two spindly little girls. He learned tatting and the herringbone stitch. When he was 10 years of age, he could play chopsticks on the piano. His ears were translucent, and his front teeth showed like those of a gray squirrel. The other boys used to make faces at him over the back fence and call him Sis. In due time, he went to college, where he proved to be a lobster. The boys held him under the pump the first night. When he walked across the campus, they would whistle, "I don't want to play in your yard." He began to drink Manhattan cocktails and he smoked hemp cigarettes until he was dotty. One day, he ran away with a girl who waited on the table at the boarding house, and his parents cast him off. At present, he is in charge of the cloakroom at a dairy lunch. Seeing that the home training experiment had been a failure in the case of Joseph, the parents decided to give Clarence a large measure of liberty, that he might become acquainted with the snares and temptations of the world while he was young, and thus be prepared to sidestep the pitfalls when he was older. They sent him to the public schools. They allowed him to roam at large with other kids and stay out at nights. They kept liquor on the sideboard. Clarence stood in with the toughest push in town and thus became acquainted with the snares and temptations of the world. He learned to chew tobacco and spit through his teeth, shoot craps, and rush the can. When his father suggested that he enter some business house and become a credit to the family, he growled like a Boston Terrier and told his father to go chase himself. At present, he is working the shells with the circus. Moral: it all depends. So that was George Ade's Fable of the Parents Who Tinkered with the Offspring. Take it to heart, all you mums and dads out there. It all depends. And we surrounded that reading with Scott Joplin playing his maple leaf rag. Okay, so where do we go next? I know. Here are some kids playing up their mother. Not in a nasty way, not as part of some uncorrected personality trait or anything, just in the child's delight in making funny noises, especially if the noises can provoke reactions, especially infuriated reactions. It's a lovely track from Taj Mahal, which begins with him apparently just having fun breezing through a soulful rhythm and a soulful tune. But then he stops and talks to us and gives us the domestic context of playing with this soulful tune that will make you dance, as he says.
It's a soulful tune. If you sing it in key, get your knees, start to drumming, get your heart, start to jumping. It's a soulful tune. Go ahead and sing your tune. Not a worry on my mind. I got out and then worked, and I'm just so tired this evening. Listen to the music, listen to the song. Got a soulful tune. Get your knees, start to jump. Your back start to jump. Your heart start to pump. Hair start to pound. It's a soulful tune. It will make you dance. Kids, we used to sit around the table, you know, and for lack of anything to do, we used to make up little games. And one of the little games that we made up, which is when my mother went out of the room because she didn't like us doing this thing, which was called and goes like this. Mm-mm.
Okay, that was Taj Mahal's A Little Soulful Tune from the album The Old Folks at Home. Okay, we'll end our time together this evening under lamplight with a longish song, the first run-through, so I understand, of a Dylan song that made it only onto one of the bootleg albums. It's Red River Shore, a deeply sad and moving ballad spoken by one of Dylan's lonesome wanderers, one of his strangers in a strange land, one of the losers, in this case someone who has lost the only thing he ever really wanted, being with the girl from the Red River Shore. Who was this girl from the Red River Shore? Why do we know her only by a not very specific geographical attribute? Did she die or just fade away out of sight and out of memory of everyone but him? And what is it that he longs for at the end of the song? Is it she or is it he who has died and is dead and needs to be brought back to life? This speaker seems to have the ability to weave poetic diction in with an almost illiterate down-home American vernacular. But now the song begins with what I think is an amazing poetic image. Some of us turn off the lights and we live in the moonlight shooting by. Some of us scare ourselves to death in the dark to be where the angels fly. This is a kind of mystical experience. Some of us do this. We turn off the lights. We turn away from all the things of this world, moving into a place of stillness, closing our eyes, spending time in the enchanted flashes of inner moonlight, sudden glimpses of the other world, the world of our unconscious or the world of our deeper connections to the things outside of ourselves. And we scare ourselves to death in the dark because these moonlit revelations open up the shadows we have been trying to avoid for so long. But we know that it is only by braving these shadows and being willing to open ourselves to being scared to death, that mythic moment of the hero's death, it's only by undergoing these things that we can be where the angels fly. And this prepares us, doesn't it, for a song that enters a certain kind of stillness to face haunting shadows deep within. The grief of loss expressed here is enough to scare anyone to death, not least this woe-begone singer, as he encounters the thoughts of this girl from the Red River Shore that have been haunting him all his life. And after a few stanzas of reflecting back on his life and the dream that has died of being with this woman, he reflects on the way our lives, or just his life at any rate, are lived in the shadows of a fading past, trapped in the fires of time. We cannot escape the burns we received back there in the past. We try to live a good life. I tried not to ever hurt anybody and to stay out of a life of crime, he says. But ultimately, what good does this do? Our lives are shaped, he seems to say, not by our moral choices, but by these scars from the past. And the future is measured only by its distance from the past. One more day is another day away from the girl on the Red River Shore. An amazingly strong line about the way some of us live only in relation to what's happened to us in the past. So what can we do? We can try to revisit the past, but that just makes things worse, since the past is gone and all evidence and all associations with this past are gone too. Well, I went back to see about it once, went back to straighten it out. Everybody that I talked to had seen us there, said they didn't know who I was talking about. And then another haunting. The rumor of a guy who lived a long time ago, a man full of sorrow and strife. This we know is Jesus the healer, but he's so remote from our stranger in a strange land that he's only some guy who lived a long time ago that I've heard some stories about. Whenever someone around him died and was dead, not just died, but was dead too, pretty conclusive. But whenever someone around him died and was dead, he knew how to bring him on back to life. That must have been some kind of magic spell he used, but I don't know what kind of language he used. He's that far away from me, just the whiff of a rumor with no clear instructions. And I don't know if they, that vague, all-inclusive they, I don't know if they do this kind of thing anymore, he says. Some people talking about this song thinks he wants this guy from the past to bring her back to life because she's died. Or perhaps he wants this guy to bring him, at least emotionally or spiritually, back to life, since everything inside of him has died. But I wonder if what he really wants is to bring the past back to life. A tall order for any healer. Since he thinks that's the only way he will ever be real. Since sometimes I think nobody ever saw me here at all, except the girl from the Red River Shore. That anyway is what the words might suggest to us about the song. But now it's time to attend to the performance. It may have been a rejected first shot at doing the song, but I think the instrumentation is just right. Instruments gradually making their way delicately into the song, adding depth upon depth, and the voice so rough and gravelly as it tries to rise into lyrical heights but sinks back into a kind of weary, worn-out tone. We'll be going out with this song, I think, and so before we listen, I must remind you that you've been listening to Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio, with me, Robert Louis Abrahamson, and I'm so pleased to be able to share this final song with you. Bob Dylan, Red River Shore.
Some of us turn off the lights and we live in the moonlight shooting by. Some of us scare ourselves to death in the dark to be where the angels fly. Pretty maids all in a row lined up outside my cabin door. I've never wanted any of them wanting me, except the girl from the Red River Shore. Well, I sat by her side and for a while I tried to make that girl my wife. She gave me her best advice and she said, go home and lead a quiet life. Well, I've been to the east and I've been to the west and I've been out where the black winds roar. Somehow, though, I never did get that far with the girl from the Red River Shore. Well, I knew when I first laid eyes on her I could never be free. One look at her and I knew right away she should always be with me. Well, the dream dried up a long time ago. Don't know where it is anymore. True to life, true to me, was the girl from the Red River shore. Now I'm wearing the cloak of misery, and I've tasted jilted love, and the frozen smile upon my face fits me like a glove. But I can't escape from the memory of the one that I'll always adore. All those nights when I lay in the arms of the girl from the Red River shore. Where we're living in the shadows of a fading past, trapped in the fires of time. I've tried not to ever hurt anybody and to stay out of the life of crime. It's all been said and done. I never did know the score. One more day is another day away from the girl from the Red River shore. But I'm a stranger here in a strange land. But I know this is where I belong. I ramble and gamble for the one I love, and the hills will give me a song. Though nothing looks familiar to me, I know I've stayed here before. Once a thousand nights ago, with a girl from the Red River shore. But I went back to see about it once. Went back to straighten it out. Everybody that I talked to had seen us there. Said they didn't know who I was talking about. Well, the sun went down on me a long time ago. I've had to pull back from the dawn. I wish I could have spent every hour of my life with a girl from the Red River shore. A long time ago, a man full of sorrow and strife, that if someone around him died and was dead, he knew how to bring him on back to life. Well, I don't know what kind of language he used, or if they do that kind of thing anymore. Sometimes I think nobody ever saw me here at all, except the girl from the Red River shore.
Bob Dylan, Red River Shore. Not so much a song as a whole experience. Well, visit us at momentsunderlamplight.co.uk and hit the link to Evening Under Lamplight, and you've got all the old archives, and you'll hear some of these songs again on those earlier shows. And come back again next time for more of all this.